Thanks for joining us on the Wintrust Business Lunch. I'm John Williams. And Pete Zimmerman is our producer. A lot of ground to cover today. Amy Guth is monitoring that event by Apple. We'll see what this new Apple phone is all about. We understand that 5G will be the big deal changer this time. What's the price? Four of them? Do all of them have 5G? Are there any other features? How much better is the camera this time? So Amy's got all of that. We'll do that in about 40 minutes. Let's talk a little bit about what's happening in the markets and the economy generally. Once again, John Najarian joins us. John, welcome to the show. You are the founder, of course, of MarketRebellion.com, the financial news, education, and subscription site. How are you today, John?
I'm doing well, John, and obviously you are too. You're in good voice.
That's nice of you to say. The Dow is off about 140 right now. I think the NASDAQ, it'll scroll up. Yeah, the NASDAQ is down a little bit, although, shoot, the NASDAQ had a banner day yesterday. Overall, what's going on with markets today?
Well, it's the kickoff of the earnings season, really, with J.P. Morgan and Citigroup, and they both had good earnings. In the case of J.P. Morgan, pretty great earnings as far as their loan loss provisions were much, much better than expected. Some of the analysts had thought that they would be north of $2.2 billion. They were, I think, $600 million. So obviously a very good report out of them. But there just seems to be a persistent selling going on in the market today, and I don't know exactly why. We, of course, had Columbus Day yesterday with the bonds closed, and came in today. The NASDAQ was 1% higher in the early pre-market trade, and now it's virtually flat on the session. So we've given up all of that early gain, and now we're just kind of treading water with this Apple event going on.
Well, I guess, yeah, the Apple event would maybe, I don't know, do you expect something would come out of there that would change either the FANGs or the NASDAQ or Apple's shares necessarily?
I don't really. I think this new phone, the 12, is going to be the mother of all upgrades for people that have older phones, some people much older than 2 years and 3 years old. I think they will be among the first to upgrade because a much faster phone, especially for on the data side, is going to be something that the folks that have older, slower phones will notice much more than those of us who have been pretty much every year upgrading our phones. But I think it's really, John, about this Apple One. This is, I think, more of a game changer than the phone. Because I think this is a page out of Satya Nadella, the chairman of Microsoft. This is right out of his playbook. You're basically bundling six different services that Apple provides. Right now, almost all of us in the listening audience that have an Apple product are using iCloud because that's storage. And close to a billion people pay them monthly fees to store photos and various files that you want safe up there in the cloud rather than on your device. I think the fact that now you're going to be able to bundle Apple Music, Apple TV, Apple Fitness, iCloud, as well as their news and their games, which they call Arcade, I think is really big. And if you turn us from a billion people on iCloud to perhaps over the next, you know, I don't think it's you throw a switch, but I think pretty quickly you get close to a billion people paying them $14 a month for all those, for the access to all of those things that I just described. I think that's a game changer, and that's reoccurring revenue that is different than the once a year iPhone upgrade. And it's actually once every 2 years that they do that significant upgrade.
I saw that Ethan Allen Furniture is having a good day.
Very much so. Yep, it popped. In the pre-market, it was up 12%. It's held on to that. This is like a flat line holding that 12% gain. Much better than expected earnings. And, you know, you've got Wayfair that also does extremely well. It's a different product, of course, but Ethan Allen is their products. And apparently their products were exceedingly popular with people that were, I don't know if you still call it nesting, but that are redoing parts of their home because they've just been in those homes a lot more than they normally are, John.
John, do you think that the market is sort of factored in the fact that we're not going to have any real meaningful progress on a stimulus package until after the election?
I think so. And you and I have discussed this over the last several weeks. And the difference, of course, is that the market will like it when we get that stimulus, whether it comes now or after or both. The market will love it because the stimulus, even though it's directed at people, is something that really benefits the market much more than it benefits the economy, quite frankly. The best way to get people money would be for them to pass some sort of stimulus and get money to the 22 million Americans that are out of work, as well as that payroll protection. But they are lumping so much more onto this stimulus bill that the markets will absolutely go gaga over, you know, the infrastructure spending and all the rest. But that really either demeans or discounts the pain that these people are suffering that have been forced out of work. And, you know, so you're going to continue to see that big separation of how well the market does versus how well the economy is doing and individuals in the economy in particular.
John Najarian is the founder of MarketRebellion.com. Talk next week, John. Thanks for your time today. You bet. As always, pleasure to hear from him. Kathy Ragnar is on a phone line. We appreciate you joining us today, Kathy. She is the executive director of something called Sarah's Circle. You can visit sarahs-circle.org. How are you, Kathy?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing good, thanks. I know a little bit about your organization, but for those who don't, tell us a little bit about what Sarah's Circle does.
Sure. Sarah's Circle provides a full continuum of services for women who are homeless or at risk of homelessness. We run the city's daytime program for women, the largest interim housing for women. We have our own stock of permanent housing for women that have a history of chronic homelessness, and we are currently developing more housing for women.
I guess the history of this place is in 1979, there was a few ladies who saw some homeless people in one of the Chicago neighborhoods, homeless women, and said, what can we do to help out, right?
That is absolutely true. It was 1979, and back then the homeless services were basically a hot and a cot. You had a cot in the evening at a church and a hot meal, and then during the day you were back on the street. And the women in the uptown neighborhood saw the particular vulnerability and plight of women that were homeless, because during the day they had to keep themselves safe and in many ways had to hide because they were very vulnerable on the street and really had no chances of securing housing or securing a job. So they started Sarah's Circle, and it was a daytime program that allowed women a place to be safe, get new clothes, eat, and work on getting a job and securing housing.
Is it a permanent, I don't mean permanent, but I mean, is it a sort of in-person care place? They stay overnight there, they can live there for a while?
Sure. Well, we have multiple programs. So the daytime program is still a drop-in program for the day that women are homeless are welcome to come and use our services. We do run a 50-bed interim housing program, which is overnight. It's 24/7, and women are with us for about typically 3 or 4 months while we work on getting them permanently housed. And then we have our own housing that is for women that have a history of chronic homelessness, and that is permanent. So women will stay with us many for the rest of their lives or until they're able to move on.
You're working on a new place on Sheridan, right?
We are. We are in the final steps of building a 6-story building on the corner of Sheridan and Leland. It will have a new space for our interim housing program. It will have 38 apartments for women that have a history of chronic homelessness. And we have been able to continue the construction schedule during the pandemic, and we hope to open up around the end of November.
Wow. How do you fund that? Where does the money come from?
Well, this is very unique, the funding for this, because originally we had sought out the typical funding of the 9% low-income housing tax credits. But Sarah Circle was able to receive a very transformational $14 million grant from a national foundation to get this building built. The funders realized the challenges of building housing for women, believed in Sarah Circle, and that we could get the project done. So we got the $14 million grant, and that, with support from the city with TIF funding, we were able to finance the construction of this building.
Are these women with mental health issues then too?
Oftentimes there are mental health challenges. That is one of the factors that can often lead to homelessness, but it's not the only one. While there are issues of mental health, there's also physical health disabilities, domestic violence, and also persistent poverty for women that are in relatively low-income jobs. But mental health is definitely one of the leading variables that lead to homelessness for men and women.
Has the coronavirus changed your mission in any way?
Well, in some ways, no, not really, in the sense that we are still here to serve women who are homeless or at risk of homelessness. It has heightened the reality of the impact of being homeless. So when you are being asked to shelter in place or stay safe, if you don't have a home, that you really don't have a choice. So it has highlighted the need for our services, and our services have stayed the same. We have stayed, all of our programs have stayed fully open and fully operational for the pandemic, and they will continue to do so. What has changed is we've had to increase protocol keeping the staff as well as the women safe, including, you know, medical checks, different kind of equipment that the staff have to wear as well as the clients, and changing overall program protocols. So it has increased the need for our services, but the mission is the same.
I want to make a donation.
Well, there you go.
I will ask for it if you won't. I mean, what can people do to support what you all do?
Well, financial gifts are always appreciated, especially now. We are not only keeping all programs open and operational with increased challenges, but we're also going to be running a second interim housing program starting in January that was not planned for in this year's budget. We were fully intended to move our interim housing program to the new building, but because of the incredible need for more beds, we are keeping the program open at $4,750 for 2021. So financial donations are very much appreciated. We just go to our website at sarahs-circle.org, and we appreciate the donation. Or I know our volunteer opportunities have changed with COVID, but there are still opportunities for volunteering, so that would be on our website as well.
I think a lot of us know that there is that need out there, but we don't get directly involved in it, and we hope somebody else is, and the somebody else is Sarah's Circle. So write a check or make a donation if you can, and good luck on that building on Sheridan at the end of the year. Again, it's sarahs-circle.org. There's no apostrophe in Sarah, S-A-R-A-H-S, and then that little hyphen, and then circle.org. Kathy Ragnar, nice to talk to you today. Good luck.
Well, it's been my pleasure. Thank you so much.
That's Sarah's Circle. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. Pete Zimmerman is the producer. He handed me a note. This is about the Lindeman Chimney Heating and Cooling Company. You know, we talk about businesses, large and small, that are struggling or finding new successes on this show. And the note says that in the last 50 years, over 51 years of business at the Lindeman Chimney Heating and Cooling Company, in the last 2 weeks, they've had more leads than they ever have in the history of their business, which must make you feel pretty good. Michael Bodart, welcome to the show.
Yeah, it sure does. Thanks so much, John, for having me on today. It's been quite a year, to say the least.
And what whiplash you must have had, because I know that when this thing hit and everybody sort of clinched, business, even for you guys, dried up, right?
Yeah, and it was, you know what, it was a year that we headed into with planning that started, you know, like every year last year in 2019 in the fourth quarter. We laid out some initiatives and we said, what do we want 2020 to look like? We had negotiated much larger space to another building in our business park up here in Lake Bluff. We doubled the size of our facility. We added some manufacturing equipment capabilities, some staff around that. We decided that 2020 was going to be the year that we launched, finally, a full-service heating and air conditioning division to complement, you know, our longstanding chimney and fireplace work. And so we did all of that, and, you know, little did we know what was lurking in the calendar for us. But, yeah, heading into March and April, we saw our business take a crash, like a lot of businesses, down to literally 20% of where we thought we should be. And, you know, it was bleak. It was terrifying. We had literally been hours away from scaling back our operation to maybe where it was 10 years ago. So,
did you take PPP loans?
So in the early days, as the business was collapsing and the phone stopped ringing, and this was also impacting, obviously, our supply business. We're a national chimney supply company in North America. So everybody was under this same condition. We had not even heard about the PPP loan program yet because this was, you know, talked about in Congress. We had heard that they were coming up with an aid package. We didn't know what, we didn't know when, we didn't know how it would be applicable. But what we knew is we had to survive and we had to maintain a cash flow so that we could survive on the other side. When we did find out about PPP, we said, okay, it looks like that might help out in the next 30 days. It ended up taking a little bit of time, but we navigated that. We applied for it. We used that promise of that loan and that forgiveness to maintain our staff. One of the conditions of that PPP forgiveness is that you maintain a headcount,
right.
And that was based on prior years. So we did all of the work to find out what we had to do to maintain that. We repurposed some of our field technicians in the chimney business, which was very slow. We redeployed them and certified a handful of them in some HVAC certification education courses. We redeployed a number of guys into our manufacturing line, which then at least put labor into finished goods of a line of fireplace products that we make here in Lake Bluff to sell nationally, right? So we built a bunch of inventory. We educated our guys. With the remaining guys that were in the field, we, you know, did what we could to, you know, eke out whatever opportunities were available. We doubled down on our marketing. We doubled down on our e-blast. We doubled down on customer communication. We went back to really a mindset of where we were in the 2008 and 2009 crisis, where it was tough sledding, and, you know, started doing daily performance reporting and got the entire staff really just in a very, you know, urgent disposition and really grabbed a hold of every opportunity, every phone call, and treated it like gold. Not that we don't do that all the time, but, you know, it was even more precious because everybody knew that our survival depended on that. And it's amazing what a team does when called to jump in and perform, but it was absolutely amazing to see the men and women that run the company stand up and take charge and you know, do their part to get through it.
Michael Bodart's on the phone line from Lindeman Chimney and Heating and Cooling. I have less than a minute left, Michael, but to what
sure.
do you attribute this? I know the season's changing, so people might be inclined to, you know, spruce up fireplaces or get a new heat, you know, furnace, but this sounds like something else is going on here. What's happening?
Yeah, I think what has happened as a result, I think for a number of customers of ours. They have kind of circled their wagons around their castles, right? Their home is their castles. I know that home improvement as a sector is doing well. I know that the trades are really busy. We cannot find, you know, skilled tradesmen. We can't buy resumes at this point. But I think what's happened is people didn't go on vacations this year. They didn't have other expenses that they normally would. I think that people have looked inward and their own homes as an investment and decided to invest in that. That was beneficial for us because, you know, we make chimneys beautiful, we make fireplaces beautiful and safe. You know, we invest and upgrade people's homes as far as heating and cooling now. So there was good alignment. We would have never guessed that business rebounded back. Based on where we were in April.
One of the fascinating things, right? Like, okay, so when this happens, who survives, who struggles, who prospers? And you would not know in March how this thing was going to shake out. And so far, it's actually working out well for Lindeman Chimney Heating and Cooling. The president is Michael Bodart. LindemanChimneyService.com is their website. Out of time today, but continued success and our best to everybody over there, Michael.
Thanks so much, John. We appreciate you, and we appreciate our partnership on WGN very much.
You betcha. It's 12:43. Speaking of the business lunch, let's get more business news with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. New data is out that shows how many people moved temporarily during the COVID-19 pandemic. Chicago is among the cities that lost the most movers between February and July. 31,000 people moved out of the city. The moving tools and resources company MyMove analyzed all of the stats. It's unclear yet how many of those temporary moves will become permanent. Manhattan had the most temporary moves with 110,000. Hotels and shopping malls lead the list of entities with unpaid Cook County property taxes. Cranes reports the top four hotels with unpaid bills include the Hilton Downtown and the Hilton O'Hare, the Marriott W Hotel, and the Drake Hotel. The Hilton Downtown owes nearly $2.9 million in unpaid property taxes. Wisconsin has told Foxconn Technology Group it won't qualify for billions of dollars in state tax credits unless a new deal for its scaled-back factory complex is agreed to. The state says the company has fallen far short of the promises it made 3 years ago for the proposed $10 billion plant in southeast Wisconsin. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Amy Guth joins us. I understand, Amy, you've been able to monitor the Apple rollout of the new phone. Is that true, and what did you see?
Yeah, that's right. I've been peeking in on it this morning and watching what they're doing. As I said yesterday, they did it a little bit differently this year. They always have a big September event where they kind of announce everything. This year, they put the focus on the Apple Watch and then announced this other event was coming up. So, couple of takeaways from it. The camera's got some changes. There are four new phones, the iPhone 12. There's two in the size that we're accustomed to seeing. There's a mini, and then there's a one that's a little bit bigger. All of those have some camera capabilities that they don't have now. But what I thought was interesting is, you know, how the newer iPhones now have kind of rounded edges. They're going back to that straighter edge that the older iPhones have. They're going back to that. But they're also making a lot of environmental changes, which I think are really interesting. What they are removing from the box is, you know, you get a new adapter and a new cord and a new charger and all that each time you buy a phone. They're taking that out. They're saying, look, there's already 2 billion Apple power adapters out in the world, plus billions of third-party ones. So they're taking that out of there. And they will include a USB-C to Lightning cable. So you can plug your phone into like a computer or something like that. But what they're moving to do with how the phone is constructed, putting less chargers out there, and as well as a lighter shipping box, and this is just a lighter phone, is the equivalent of, they say, the equivalent of 450,000 cars removed from the road in terms of what they're saving in materials. So a lot of environmental stuff. But the charger part is another part that I thought was interesting. MagSafe charger. So it's some new charging options. And I think we're all going to be hearing MagSafe a lot because there's a lot of products there, cases, kind of a wallet case, a wireless charger, and things like that. So it seems like environmental stuff is driving that. But the camera changes I thought were really interesting, specifically what you can do in low light time lapse and low light, things like that, as well as some capabilities for 5G for those who are in those networks.
Okay. Did they talk about price on these new products?
Yeah, you know, I was hoping there would, you know, be something super inexpensive. Not the case. They're still on par with kind of what they are right now. The mini, I think, is $699 and up from there. So kind of around price. I don't think anyone's getting a price break on those anytime soon, but, you know, still right in line with that. But as I said yesterday, what I think is interesting is a big phone announcement puts customers on a 2 to 3 to 4 year upcycle, you know, trajectory. And so that there's a lot of people that say, you don't necessarily all go and upgrade your phone right away. You kind of go, okay, well, when this phone kind of starts to tank a little bit, when it's time for a new phone, maybe that's the phone I'll get. So it starts putting people in this upcycling mode that really makes Apple a valuable company. So it'll be interesting to watch the next few quarters of how this translates in consumer sales, especially considering everything else going on economically.
Social Security's cost of living adjustment this year will be 1.3%. How does that compare? Say that again. We're short of time. Let me just mention this, then I want to ask you about Delta. Social Security benefits will see a 1.3% increase to their monthly checks this year, and in previous years, I think it was slightly higher. 1.4, I think, has been the average. Talk to me about Delta as we wrap this up, Aime. What's the latest there?
Yeah, of course. So Delta has released their third quarter numbers, and if you add the second quarter reporting and the third quarter, they've lost about $11 billion during the pandemic so far. Not a big surprise. I think a lot of analysts knew their numbers would be kind of right in line with some of the others. But the third quarter net loss was $5.4 billion. That's, compare that with a profit of $1.5 billion last year at the same time. So another company, another airline especially, that's just saying, you know, it's going to be a while. Our forecasts are down. We don't expect a quick recovery, and we're doing our best. So they've kind of joined that chorus of people in airline leadership positions saying, hey, this is going to bounce back quickly. This is going to be a while before we see air travel return to pre-pandemic levels.
Boy, we just haven't had any good airline news in a while, have we?
No, the only thing that might be a bright spot is, you know, what we were talking about yesterday with Southwest Airlines expanding their service to O'Hare, because that has some implications for the O'Hare expansion project. That's a you know, multi-billion dollar project that, you know, it could possibly speed it up, but it could certainly make it a little more valuable as an airport. It could certainly be good for the airport. I'm also going to be interested to see what United, Delta, and American, but especially United and American, who hold the top two spots at O'Hare, do in response to Southwest's move. Because here suddenly they're saying, hey, we're going to offer more availability in hopes to kind of salvage a little more air travel by operating both airports in both Chicago and Houston. So I think that's going to be interesting. I'm not saying it's a bright spot per se, but it's a potential bright spot when we're talking about the economic importance of O'Hare to the city.
Which is a lot. That's Aime Guth, following the business scene for us, airlines, phones, and more. We'll visit again. Thanks, Aime.
Thanks, John.